In the 6 months since an earthquake devastated Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, and badly damaged most of the country, aid workers from around the world have gone to the country to offer their help. One of those groups is from the Hudson River Valley Health Center north of New York City. This small group arrived in Port-au-Prince over the weekend and plans to spend a few weeks in the country. The group consists of doctors, nutritionists, and other healthcare professionals and is led by the center's executive director, Ann Nolan. I talked to Nolan, who is in the northern part of Haiti, in a hospital where people who have lost arms and legs are being treated.
We are in a small town called Milo, which is about 10 miles, about a half-hour trip from Cap-Haïtien, which is in the northern part of the country. Cap-Haïtien is along the Atlantic on the north shore. You can almost see the Dominican Republic from this, so it's in the eastern part, northeast part of the country. We flew into Port-au-Prince so that we could do some work with an organization called CRUDEM, the Center for World Development of Milo. And at CRUDEM, there is quite an extensive hospital and a clinic system, as well as a community health worker program. This group has received about 600 amputees and others from Port-au-Prince who were evacuated right after the earthquake by helicopter, many of them. They had made their way to the comfort ship and had then been sent up here for special treatment. There's also at this site a prosthetic lab that has been fully occupied and staffed by volunteers.
You're from New York. What is your role in this?
Hudson River Healthcare is a community health center. We're located in the Hudson Valley. We serve 65,000 patients on an annual basis, most of whom are low and moderate income, who are uninsured. Over 50% of our patients are uninsured. We provide primary care. Because of this tragedy here, we wanted to come and be open-handed about what was needed and necessary, but just with his vision and hope that there might be some use for our comprehensive preventive services in a way in which we might be able to help.
What kind of conditions are you encountering? Are people getting adequate health care where you've been?
In the northern part with them, it's such a powerful organization in the right sense. It has a campus, a hospital campus. It does training. It has residents. Medical residents are rotated through here, and Haiti does have a couple medical schools that are still existing. And so this is a place where people know is a focal point. This is in Milo, south of Cap-Haïtien. It's an interesting challenge, as in all developing countries, where even though there's a community and a hospital and a village, the people live so in such dispersed areas and up in mountaintops and miles away that then the only form of transportation is to walk. So it is a center, though, that people can get to by walking for a day. They can get here, and there is also a community health worker program where the hospital sends people out into the community to identify, into the larger community, into these geographically dispersed areas, to bring people in to treat them in whatever way they can.
Registered dietitian Ann Nolan and the others in her group have been spending time at a tent hospital set up on the grounds of a medical center that was not damaged by the earthquake in January.
They set up tents on the campus of the hospital. The hospital is here. The hospital has been here for years. It is a focal point of this part of the country. It's a really well-run hospital center with clinics, an established center for health care. And it's part of a greater effort of rural development that's gone on here in Haiti for a number of years. And that's why it was fortunate that they were able to have a campus space, just open areas where they could put up tents, large tents, to house 600 more people from Port-au-Prince, many of whom who are amputees, bringing people here from the comfort ship here for the 6 months was turned out to be fortunate, because the prosthetic lab from Houston came in and brought and set up a permanent prosthetic lab.
So this is a fairly well-equipped health center that you're working in or working with?
Yes, 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 and well supplied.
What kind of attitudes have you found among the people who that you've encountered? Do they seem to be positive 6 months after the earthquake hit?
Well, such a grateful people, very grateful for the help that they've been given. Not anyone angry, not anyone acting out, very peaceful, very loving human beings, and very open-handed for what can be given to them, and very needy because they're struggling without limbs and without their families. We visited a little 15-year-old girl in an orphanage who lost both her parents and all members of her family. She's the only one who survived, and she survived, but her foot was amputated. The orphanage is a beautifully run, private-sponsored, a German individual has come in and on a campus just north of Milo, a beautiful area for children, created little homes, and in those homes has a house mother and the support system for these children. But this little girl is depressed and refuses to use her crutch, and so her foot isn't healing as it should because she continually puts weight on the stump of her foot or her leg that is that she still has. Now she has her other leg and all her arms, and so she's in relatively physical shape, but her psychological state, as in many of the people, are very sad and will never get over the fact they've lost their family members or they've lost a limb. So the psychological problems here will go on forever.
Where do you go from here, and how long are you going to be staying in Haiti?
Not long enough for certain, but our trip was really a 10-day trip to explore what was needed and not to presume what was needed or what we could give. We are going now on our way and on the road, understanding on the road, and there's lots of dust and vehicles going by. So we're en route to Port-au-Prince, where we work with a community group that's been around for a number of years. It's not something that grew up because of the earthquake, but it's certainly needed at this point. And what we intend to do over the next few days is to do a community health worker first aid education session.
Her normal job is the chief operating officer for Hudson River Healthcare. It is a community health center north of New York City. Kathy Brieger is also a registered dietitian, and for the last week, she and several of her colleagues have been in Haiti. They began their mission in the northern part of the country, working with people who lost arms or legs during the earthquake in January. That's the part of Haiti that suffered relatively little damage from the tremor. So, she says, the health care there is adequate, as are the facilities. Brieger is now at Port-au-Prince, Haiti's capital city. The conditions there, she told me, are nearly indescribable. The word picture she paints is of a very large city that, 6 months after the earthquake, is making a feeble attempt to recover.
Well, we're staying in a place called Matthew 25 within Port-au-Prince. It's a place where people can come and spend the night, and there are different groups, different volunteer groups coming through here, people who are working with everything from food programs to assisting people with housing and environmental issues, water issues, and you name it. I think there's somebody staying. There's even a musician doing some work with a group of Haitian musicians. So,
what are the conditions like in Port-au-Prince? We know what they were shortly after the earthquake hit because of all the television pictures. In the 6 months since the earthquake hit, how would you describe the situation now? Does it still seem as chaotic as it was in the beginning?
There's some improvements, some small improvements, but a lot of the infrastructure is not much being done. There are roads that are just in such disarray, and when there's rain, right now it's the rainy season, and when it rains, we see that some parts of the road are washed out. We also see that, you know, there may be some small patching going on. The people are here with shovels and picks. They're standing in front of a large building that might have been a three-story building with a shovel. So you see that they're so little in the way of excavation going on, and I believe that there's just no setup to even get rid of the rubble. We're staying right next to a big area where there were about 400 people right after the earthquake. Now there are about 90, and they get fed once a day. It's a very well-run place, but people are still frightened, terrified to go into buildings. I know we're doing a program in a school, and the schools in Port-au-Prince are continuing through the summer this year because there's no place for the kids to go. And so we've been running a program, a first aid program for the adults to come into, but many of the people were afraid even to enter into this building because of the earthquake. So we had to, you know, reassure people, but that fear actually gets in the way of a lot of things, and it's an understandable fear, but this is something that is very real for the people here. They're just, I think the post-traumatic stress syndrome is, you know, very much a part of life here now.
Your main business down there is healthcare. What are you finding in terms of the infrastructure to care for people who have health problems?
Well, there are very minimal hospitals, minimal health centers. They really need training. What we learned when we were in Kudem, you know, earlier last week and this week here in Port-au-Prince is that people look for help in getting their health staff trained to be a better healthcare providers. And so one of the things we're seeing here is that, you know, people are so eager to learn. They're so eager because I think that we really have, you know, they're missing that training, and they really are eager to have that. As far as physical structures, I mean, there's so little in the way of equipment and things. When you have a doctor here, say, okay, order an MRI, there may be one or two places that actually has the ability to do some of these, you know, sophisticated tests. And most people that we're finding just don't have jobs, don't have enough money to pay for medications. If they have, for instance, diabetes, they need insulin. I mean, there's no program that gives them this, there are very few things that ways that they can actually get their medication.
Shortly after a large part of Haiti was badly damaged and the capital, Port-au-Prince, was destroyed by a very strong earthquake in January, Dr. Thildebert St. Louis went home to help. He is a medical doctor in the United States, but he was born in Haiti, and he's told me he had to go back to do whatever he could to help. St. Louis is back there now, part of a small medical team from Hudson River Healthcare, which works with community health centers north of New York City. Although he's been quite busy since arriving at Haiti, Dr. St. Louis did spend a few minutes talking with me about the conditions there.
We came back to Port-au-Prince and a small town called Jacquet, just outside of Pétionville, where we are now in the process of teaching some first aid and CPR, teaching preventative medicine to the people in that community, and also provide some consultations and clinic time. That's what I've been doing for the past week since I've been here.
How receptive have the people in Haiti been to the fact that not only a doctor from the United States has come down to help them, but a doctor who was born in Haiti has come back to help?
It's a good question, Paul, because people here in Haiti, they tend to see foreigners, I mean, different than who they are. And the fact is they don't speak the language. Always information is transferred to them via a translator, or you do have some foreigners that speak Creole or French. But having seen me there, they immediately have this sort of like their own kind of doctor, and basically they spill everything that they have to me. At least that's what I noticed. And they feel very good about it, and they feel also very appreciative. The fact that they see me as their own individual, their own people, are providing care for them. And it also makes me feel good to be able to come down here to do this sort of thing, whether it was here in Port-au-Prince or that little town I told you about, or it was in the north where we were several days ago. So all around, they were very, very happy and very appreciative. They could tell me directly their innermost feelings and thoughts, even through the process of after the earthquake.
Jim Senkoff is the chief financial officer of Hudson River Healthcare. He told me that the long-term goal of this visit is to establish a long-term relationship that would train Haitians to deal with their medical needs.
Over the long term, what we'd like to do is build a community health center in a way that is reflective of the very roots of how community health centers got formed and established in the United States. And very simply, that is having neighborhoods with very poor access to health care and health care services, from pharmaceuticals to dental to primary care physician services, be able to build community health center. So the place where we have sort of started our work is training community health workers. And so we first spent some time in the north in Cap Haitien. You may have heard this from my colleagues. Basically, case management sessions with the community health workers.
This would be a permanent relationship or a temporary relationship until the country gets back on its feet?
Well, I would like to think that there will always be a binational relationship that will, and I'll borrow the Creole word, conbit, K-O-N-B-I-T, which is best translated as collaboration. Hands together is the literal translation, and it comes out of, you know, Creole proverb, which we're familiar with, which is many hands make little work.
This group from New York State will leave Haiti sometime next week. All of the people we've talked to this past week have said basically the same thing. Haiti has a long way to go before it recovers, but they all say that the determination is there. Until then, they say they will provide what help they can as often as they can.